Hebrews chapter 11 this morning. Hebrews, the 11th chapter. What could there possibly be about parenting in Hebrews chapter 11? Well, you're about to find out. We've been talking about parenting last week, and then we're going to continue it this week. And if you ask me if we're continuing it next week, I have no idea. But I do know that we're supposed to do it this week. And so I want to help you, parents, grandparents, leaders that work with children, teenagers. These are all applicable lessons for all of us to hear and to put into practice. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 23, the Bible says this: by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. If you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, I have underlined in mine, by faith, by faith, by faith, through faith. We see that in verse number 23, the Bible says, by faith, Moses. In verse number 24, we see the words, by faith, Moses. In verse number 27, by faith, he forsook Egypt. Today I want to talk to you about the faith of your family. The faith of your family. We don't focus a lot in our church on faith. And I wouldn't say that I do that on purpose. But I think a lot of people take faith and they make it about themselves. I think that sometimes we think, well, if I have enough faith, then so-and-so will get better. If I have enough faith, God will provide my finances. If I have enough faith, I'll get better. If I have enough faith, then such and such will happen. I don't believe that that is the key of faith. I don't believe that you're even existing upon your faith today. I believe that's why we fall short in a lot of areas of life, is because we are depending on our faith. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved. What's the next two words? Through faith, right? Through faith. By the vehicle of your faith, you have enough faith to believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins. Do you have enough faith to believe that that punishment that he faced on that cross, that sacrifice that he made, was enough to cover your sins? Do you have enough faith to believe that if you trust him for your salvation, that he will take you to heaven when you die? Do you have enough faith to believe that if you put your faith and trust in him, hell will never be yours for 1 second, heaven will be your eternal home? That is the faith in which it takes to be saved. Matter of fact, the Bible says it's like the faith of a child. The faith of a child is how we get saved. The faith of a child saying, I believe what my parents are saying. I believe that they have my best interest in mind. I believe that they would not be telling me this if this was not the truth. That's the childlike faith that it takes to get saved. But the Bible says that when you get that kind of faith, that what happens after salvation is you go from faith to faith. See, the Bible says in the Old Testament, the way that they lived was the just shall live by his faith. If you were going to make it in the Old Testament days, your faith muscle had to be very strong. If you are going to survive today, aren't you glad it's about God's grace muscle, not your faith muscle? Because a lot of times we think, well, I just need to have more faith. I'm not doing very good in this area because I don't have enough faith. And I don't believe that. I think the faith that we're supposed to have, the Bible says, is the faith of Jesus Christ. That's the faith we're supposed to be living by. And if we can trust Jesus Christ, then everything's going to be all right. Because you've got to go back to verses like, "For we know that all things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose." I don't mind Tim Tebow. I know some people are Tebow maniacs, and they are Tebow converts. They wanted him to be in the NFL. They're so ramped up about Tebow mania. But the one thing I will say about Tim Tebow is he is very bold about his faith. He is a person that is not belligerent. See, I don't believe that. I heard a preacher say, it's time for Christians to stop being jerks for Jesus. I like that. Because I think a lot of us use what we believe to be belligerent towards the world when God calls us to be bold and courageous. He doesn't call you to be brash. He calls you to be a blessing to others. And so I think sometimes when we have this idea of faith, we have to preface it with this. It's not about your faith. It's not about your ability to make something happen. The faith that we're existing in today is the faith of Jesus Christ. Do I believe that Jesus Christ can take care of my family? Do I believe that Jesus Christ can take care of my situation? Do I believe that Jesus Christ can take care of my boss? Do I believe that Jesus Christ can take care of my kids? That's where our faith should lie today, in the faith of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ never fails. Your faith always fails. Your faith, when stretched to a limit, your faith will give in. And that's when you read the Old Testament, that's where God had to get people. The just shall live by his faith. And when they finally figured out that they couldn't do it on their own, they were ready to accept God's way. That's the faith they had. Today, we just have to trust in Jesus Christ. So when I'm talking about faith for your family, I am not talking about you you trying harder or you getting more anxious or wrapping your hands closer around your family or gaining more control, and that's your faith. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying we've got to back up as parents and as grandparents and as people influencing children, and we've got to say, do I trust Jesus enough in this situation to make happen what He wants to happen? Do I trust with His way? Do I trust His word? Do I trust the way He says to do it enough to take my hands off and stop trying to play the faith God? The faith where I've got control of this. I've got enough faith to move forward and take care of this. No. Do I have enough faith to step back and give God my kids? Do I have enough faith that if I stop trying to point my child in a certain direction, if I stop trying to mold and make them in my image rather than the image of Christ, that they'll end up being what God wants them to be, maybe not what I want them to be? Listen, that you can't do that if you don't do that with Jesus Christ's help. If you do not depend upon Jesus Christ for that kind of faith, you'll never be able to parent your child or lead children in the area of helping them to turn out to what God wants them to be without your emotions in it, without your will in it, without your manipulation in it. You've got to be able to depend upon Christ for that. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. I hope my kids turn out right. If they are going to turn out right, I can promise you this much. It will not be because of Matt Schwender and Rachel Schwender. Because I happen to know those two people. Now, they have a better chance if Rachel Schwender is more involved. But I know the two of us will never be able to turn out children if we just have faith. If we just try harder. No, our hope is in the Lord. Our strength cometh from the Lord. Our wisdom cometh from the Lord. That means everything I do as a parent is encompassed in this thing of faith that God can do better than I can. That God's way is better than mine. I can't tell you how many times I sat across the desk from people and I've debated with them for an hour on doing it God's way. You know what lacks in that? It's not lacking wisdom. It's not lacking want to. It's not lacking sincerity. It's not lacking smarts. It's not lacking intelligence. What it lacks is faith. God's grace is sufficient. God's grace is abundant. God's strength is there for each and every one of us. And it's not the fact that we don't want God to turn our kids out right. It's not that we don't want God to take our finances and turn them out right. It's not that we don't want the job to go well. It's that we don't have enough faith in Jesus Christ. Not faith in the situation, not faith in myself, not faith in my ability to reason it out and figure the situation out. That's not the faith I'm talking about. I'm talking about the faith of Jesus Christ. He never fails. So I don't have to trust anything or anyone else for my family other than Jesus Christ. And I believe that's the kind of faith that Moses' parents had for Moses. Because here's what happened. They got to the spot where Pharaoh was killing all of the male children. And you and I have never faced persecution like that. Could you imagine, mothers that are expecting in the room, could you imagine the day that you're laying on the labor table and you're giving birth to your child? That the command from Pharaoh was, as soon as that baby is born, the umbilical cord is cut, you're to take that child and throw them into the Nile River to the alligators. Immediately, if it's a male child. Could you imagine? I mean, as a parent, just put yourself there. I have three daughters. I have three wonderful, beautiful, gracious, kind, and loving daughters. I cannot imagine the persecution of that moment. The excruciation of that moment. And having no control. And Amram and Jochebed stood there in the face of that trial and that persecution and that imminent death of their child as he was already dead in her womb, basically. There was no hope. So what is she going to do? What is Jochebed going to do when she has this baby? I mean, she's about to have a man child. What is she going to do? Listen, that's what faith is. That's what faith is. There was nothing she could do. The problem with us as parents is we still have plan A, plan B, plan C, plan D. And when all of those fail, then I'll come to God and say, my kid's 9 years old and absolutely out of control. I could use some help. That's not faith. Well, I put him in the Christian school and I had him in church. That's not faith. Well, I did my best and crossed my fingers. We prayed every once in a while. We did some family devotions together. I made sure that they were in clubs and on Wednesday nights and they were in Sunday school and church time on Sunday mornings. I mean, what went wrong? That's not faith. You were trusting in a junior church teacher, in the Sunday school teacher, in the school teacher, in the first grade teacher, and you were trusting in the process. You were trusting in the preacher. We've got to start trusting God. Stop depending upon our plans and our abilities and our ways that we think our kids are going to turn out well. And see ourselves on the labor table with Jochebed saying, I'm going to have this man child, and then what am I going to do? What she did was had faith. Look at verse number 23. By faith. Now understand, Moses is not the subject here of the faith. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents. Who had the faith? Moses being born or his parents in the birth? The parents, right? No newborn has faith. Was hid 3 months of his parents. Let me ask you this. Who's the most powerful people in the world? Oh, some would say, well, the president's the most powerful person in the world. King so-and-so is the most powerful person in the world. Probably this sports star is one of the most powerful. I mean, they're the richest. They've got to be the most powerful. I think this politician over here, he's probably the most powerful. She's probably the most powerful. We would see that power to God is different than the power we interpret. For every person that stands on a stage of influence on this very day was raised by a powerful parent. Abraham Lincoln had parents. George Washington had parents. The most famous singers, the most famous poets, the most famous preachers all had parents. I would say to you today that the most powerful people in this world today are parents that are raising the kids. For those children will be the next generation's leaders. When I say powerful, I don't mean it's always good the way they use their power. Some people neglect their children, and their children have to find a savage and survival way of growing up to be a leader. Some are permissive, and their entire life they're permitted and spoiled to do what they want to do, and they grow up and they're the criminals that are within our criminal society and in behind bars in our jails, doing, believing that they deserve more. They're the ones that are sitting on welfare. The neglected ones are sitting behind bars. The permissive ones are sitting on welfare, believing that everybody owes them something because the powerful parent showed them that they would never be able to tell them no. We have mean and hatred and pride and bitterness in this world because of authoritarian parents who rode their children and drive their children and hurt their children and abuse their children with their authority because they're the parent with a small little child. And all that does is just fester hatred and bitterness and anger in the world. We need parents that are authoritarian, who have some authority in the home, who have some control in the home, but douse that home with the mighty gasoline, the accelerant, if you will, of love. That sets that child's heart on fire, that shows them that the greatest thing they could ever do is grow up and be in control of themselves and love the Lord, their Savior. That's the kind of parents that we need. Parents who will take charge, but speak the truth in love. Parents who will love their children no matter what, through the ups and through the downs, through the goods and through the bads, through the thick and through the thin. It is not just a vow you made to your spouse, but it is a vow before God that you make to your children. But that's the kind of parent and grandparent and authority figure that you're going to be in the life of children. Because I believe those are the people that have the most power. The most powerful and influential people on earth are parents of faith. But I'm so sorry to tell you this morning that we're not making much of a dent in this world because we don't have faith. We're not accessing the power. Faith is a power. Faith is an unbelievable power. I know people say prayer is so powerful. Why is prayer? Why is real prayer powerful? Because it is putting into the hands of God what only He can do. What's that called? Faith. That's why fervent and effectual prayer is effective, because it's done with faith in God. God, I don't know how you're going to handle this. I don't know what the outcome's going to be. I don't know exactly what I'm supposed to do here. But I do know this. You know. So I do believe if we'll access the power of faith, that we'll all be better parents, better leaders. As a new missionary, Herbert Jackson had a car that would not start without a push. After pondering his problem, looking under the hood, he devised a plan. He went to the school near his home, got permission to take some children out of class, and had them push his car off. As he made his rounds, he would either park on a hill or leave the engine running. He used this ingenious procedure for over 2 years. Ill health forced the Jackson family to leave, and a new missionary came to that station. When Jackson proudly began to explain his arrangement for getting the car started, the new man began looking under the hood again. Before the explanation from Mr. Jackson was complete, the new missionary interrupted. "Why, Dr. Jackson, I believe the trouble is just this loose cable right here." He gave the cable a twist, stepped into the car, pushed the switch, and to Jackson's astonishment, the engine roared to life without a push. For 2 years, needless trouble had become routine. The power was there all the time. Only a loose connection kept Jackson from putting that power to work. Isn't it amazing that we have an entire chapter of the Bible devoted to faith? How people came to the end of themselves and said, "I can't possibly take another step forward. I can't possibly figure out this situation. I can't possibly figure out how to lead these people. I can't possibly figure out how to raise my children." And the Bible says, here's how they did it. By faith. Some of the greatest stories in all of Scripture you'll find in Hebrews chapter 11 recounted the story of Noah, the story of Abel, the story of Abraham, the story of Sarah, the story after story by faith. Abraham, you just read all the way through Hebrews chapter 11 and you're going to recount almost the entire Scriptures. You're going to go, "My goodness, that's some of the greatest stories in all the Scripture. How did Abraham do that? How did Isaac do that? How did Noah do that?" By faith. The entire world's going to be destroyed. And you want me to build a boat? What's a boat? Because it's going to rain, Noah. Just one question. What's rain? It had not rained to that point. By faith. You can't if anybody figures out how to get into the mind of a child, then you need to write a book. Because good luck. It's like trying to figure out a woman. Do you know that those women used to be little girls? You can't figure them out when they're little girls. You're not going to figure them out when they're teenagers. And you're sure not going to figure them out when they're adults. Children are hard to understand. I probably need to depend upon the person that created them if I'm going to figure out how to lead them. And that means I've got to have faith. By faith. The most powerful and influential people in this world are parents of faith. I do believe that faith is the vital ingredient in any family's success. Faith. 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 By faith, Moses' parents, when he was born, hid him 3 months. For they saw he was a proper child. You can't do that on your own. The entire Egyptian army is looking for kids to throw into the river. Midwives are being paid to throw your children into the river. Nobody musters up the strength. Nobody sincerely tries and gets through that kind of persecution. I think we're coming upon some times in America where God's people's faith is going to be tried. Because we talk about, "I believe in God. I live for God. I love God." And then they put the handcuffs on. And you got one of two choices. Try to figure it out. Try to weasel your way out. Try to manipulate your way out. Or have faith. And my friend, our kids are not going to be able to stand against persecutions and against hard times and trials and temptations of their life if they do not see parents and grandparents that have faith. The Bible said, "Whose faith follow?" They're coming after you. They're watching you. You say, "Well, they didn't turn out right." What were they following? That's why I believe the school your children are in is important. They're following somebody. That's why I believe the church that you're in is important, because they're following somebody. That's why I believe the entertainment is important, because they're following somebody. That's why I believe your home must be a threefold cord with a good church, a good school, and a good home, because a threefold cord is not quickly broken, and something that is tied together, a consistent home. They come to church and hear that we are a church of faith, and we believe that God is bigger than us, and we believe that God can do something we can't do. And they go to school and they hear about God's miraculous wonders, and He performs these things, and we talk about this life of faith. And then they get home and mom and dad got their plans and their ideas and their dreams and their way of parenting and how they're going to do it. And they read it in a book and they saw it on television. And they're not following anything except the wrong example. How could Moses, by the time he was 5 or 6 years old, he is in the Pharaoh's palace. You've read the story in Exodus. He gets put into the bulrushes. Miriam sees Pharaoh's daughter pick up the baby. The Bible says for the first time he cries. I mean, this is like a proper child. They're able to hide him for 3 months. He's crying and Miriam comes out of the bushes and she says, "I can get you a nurse for him." She says, "Go." She brings Jochebed back. And Pharaoh's daughter pays Jochebed to take care of her own son. She raises that child. And that day, they didn't have refrigerators and all that stuff. So you can all figure those things out. They didn't nurse until they were 10 months old. They were 4 or 5 years old at times. The proper way to do it in that day of nursing and those kinds of things. So in the matter of the time, the Bible says that the child was raised, where we would say the most influential years of their life, between 0 and 6 to 7 years old, in those few precious years, he got enough faith that when he was old enough, and they walked him through the palace and said, "Moses, this is all yours." Something inside of him said, "No. I don't want this." When they said, "Bow to this God and to that God and worship the sun God and worship the moon God and worship the star gods," and something inside of Moses rose up and said, "I'll not worship that. I'm going to worship Almighty God." He didn't learn that on his own. He didn't just get it one day. He didn't just learn it by being in the right place at the right time. A godly, faithful, faith-filled parent instilled that to him in his first few years of life. You can't wait till they're 10. You cannot wait till they're teenagers. Well, I think they'll understand when they're teenagers. It's too late. Faith must be the first thing you show them. That God is in control. That you're alive because of faith. That you have because of faith. Because you breathe because of faith. Because you're going to do something for God someday because of faith. We need parents who stop thinking they have everything figured out. Go back to God's Word. Grandparents who will go back to God's Word and say, "God, I can't possibly raise this child in this world that we're living in. I can't possibly turn them out right without your help." And let God increase our faith. Not our plans, not our dreams. Increase our belief that He is the only one that is going to help me in this battle for my child's life. By faith, Moses' parents. Why would they hide him for 3 months? Why would they do these things and go through these things? Because they truly believe that God could do something they could never do. I think sometimes as parents, it's just a good idea to step back and say, God, I don't trust you like I should. I don't believe your way has been better than my way. Lord, I can't bring to you my faith. It is feeble. It is weak. God, I can't bring to you my belief because I'm asking you to help my unbelief. I've got so much doubt in me. Lord, I plead the name of Jesus Christ and His faith. I take that childlike faith that I was saved with and I transfer that, Lord, and I'm asking for your Son, Jesus Christ's faith, who is perfect, who is holy, who is just, who is equitable, who is righteous. I need that kind of faith to raise my kids. I need that kind of belief and hope to raise my children. Some of you got your eyes on the news, and you're discouraged as parents. Some of you have your eyes on society and economy and all of these things, and you're discouraged about being a parent. You won't get discouraged about being a parent if Christ is the center. If everything you do and everything you say centers around Christ in your home. We go to church, we center it on Christ. We go to school, it's centered on Christ. We come home, it's centered on Christ. I'm not talking about sitting around chanting to each other and reading the Bible all day. I'm talking about when things happen, we trust God more than ourselves. Then when we don't know the way, we are going to find God's way and do that. May God give us faith for our families. Would you stand together with me for a word of prayer?